And I just happen to glance at Twitter. I'm getting ready for bed. And it's 2:30. And now Lorena Gonzalez is tweeting at me. She's responding to my tweet at 2:30 in the morning. And I'm like, oh, we're doing this? We're doing this right now? Okay, fine. So now we're in a Twitter battle at 2:30 in the morning. Me and Lorena Gonzalez back and forth. And I'm basically saying, we didn't agree to this. You need to delete your tweets. And now, mind you, she's one of the most powerful politicians in the state of California. But I'm batshit. I don't give a fuck. You fuck with musicians, you fuck with the wrong group. This episode is brought to you by DistroKid. DistroKid is a distribution service that can get your music into all the DSPs like Spotify, Apple Music, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram. Over a million artists have used DistroKid. I'm one of those artists. I've used DistroKid to get my music out, distribute some of my songs. As you know, as I look into all of these distribution services, I test them out. And DistroKid is great. They offer a ton of features. Annual fee, unlimited uploads, and you keep 100% of your royalties. Check out DistroKid.com. What's going on? Welcome to the New Music Business. I'm your host, Ari Herstand, author of How to Make It in the New Music Business, the book. Today, I don't have a guest, but I'm going to talk about the new law that was signed, AB 2257, in California, which amended AB 5. If you don't know what that is, I'm going to talk all about it. This was a California law, but has implications for people all over the states. As always, please find me on Instagram and Twitter at Ari Herstand. You can find us all at Ari's Take. And if you're not on the email list, yeah, you really got to get on the email list. That's where I send out all the most important information, anything that's happening that you need to know about in the music industry, coupons and other deals that I'm finding around that's offered just to the Ari's Take community. Go to aristake.com, sign up for that email list. All right, let's kick into the show. Okay, so what happened last Friday, the governor of California, Governor Gavin Newsom, signed into law something that I had been working almost a year on trying to get done. Basically, this bill that he signed into law, which is now the law, AB 2257, basically amended the quote-unquote gig workers law AB 5. Now, if you've been following anything of California politics or even in the freelancer community, the musician community, anything like that, you've probably heard of AB 5. I've been talking a lot about that on Ari's Take. If you don't know what that is, AB 5 went into effect January 1st of 2020, and it is basically a law that reclassifies whether somebody, a worker, is considered an employee or a contractor. Now, if you don't know what the difference between an employee and a contractor is, employee means that you are on payroll, W-2'd, you know, you have taxes withheld, you have get some benefits, all that stuff. And a contractor is really just somebody who's given a 1099. They don't withhold any of your taxes. You pay taxes at the end of the year. You know, most of us are contractors. Every gig I've ever played and anyone I've ever hired, it's been a contracting situation. Now, what AB 5 said is that musicians and anyone really cannot contract anyone else out unless they meet very, very, very strict criteria, which no one in the music industry really meets. And let me break this down. So previously, the law says that someone is going to be considered a contractor if they meet the Borello test, and it's 11 factors. The Borello is this ruling, blah, 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 legalese, legalese. Previously, it was like, if you're under the control of your employer, then you have to be considered an employee. If the employer tells you under the control, it's a loose term, but that's pretty much how it was determined. And that's nationally. This is the national U.S. law, the Borello test, 11 key factors, whether you are going to be considered an employee or a contractor. Now, AB 5 basically said that we're no longer looking at the Borello test. We're now looking at a much more strict version, which we're calling the ABC test. And the ABC test, let me just read what this is. It's a three-point test. And it says under the ABC test, a worker is considered an employee unless the worker is A, free from the control and direction of the company in performing work, both practically and in contractual agreement between the parties. That's kind of like Borrello. B, performs work that is outside the usual course of the company's business. And C, is customarily engaged in an independently established trade, occupation, or business of the same nature as the work performed by the company. Okay, so B is what caught everybody up. Performs work that is outside the usual course of the company's business. This caught everyone up because it's pretty hard for a music venue to say that the artist that we are hiring to play our music venue is performing work outside the normal course of business, which is music, of our music venue, and they're performing music that's pretty much in line of the usual course of business. Same as a band leader. It's hard for me as a band leader to say that the drummer I'm hiring is performing work outside the usual course of business of my business of music. Commence all jokes that saying that drummers are not musicians, blah, 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 blah. This law could have single-handedly crashed the California music economy. This is not hyperbole. This was actually starting to happen. So this law went into effect, January of 2020. And within the first 2 months, I had documented hundreds of musicians who actually lost work because of AB5, meaning somebody would normally contract session musicians from California for recordings, whatnot, you know, session music, mixing engineers, mastering engineers, producers, all that stuff, turning to California musicians, California music professionals. They stopped doing that and they started turning to musicians elsewhere in the country, not California. Not only that, and this is documented. This is actually a case I heard about a composer who would normally contract a 50-piece orchestra to attempt, to record their new works, wanted to hear it, record a demo, had contracted 50 musicians for this project and canceled that contract and took the job to Florida, hired Florida musicians because this composer said, I can't afford to put 50 musicians on payroll. So this is what this AB5 says. Now, if you have to classify somebody as an employee, not just a contractor, as an employee, what does that mean? That means that you have to put them on payroll. You have to W-2 them, put them on payroll, withhold taxes, get workers' comp insurance, unemployment insurance, all these other benefits. And if you're the employer, like the band leader or the composer or music venue or whatever, you have to incorporate yourself to get a payroll company. Incorporating yourself in California is very expensive, minimum of $800 a year, not to mention all of the new taxes you have to file. My accountant charges me $2,000 a year to file my corporate taxes. You'd have to incorporate yourself. You have to get workers' comp insurance, not cheap. You have to put everybody on payroll. Now, payroll companies aren't set up for one-off gigs, you know. A lot of payroll companies charge like $50 per person you want to put on payroll. So needless to say, it's extremely expensive to comply with this law. Now, the intention of AB5 initially was to, quote unquote, protect Uber and Lyft drivers. And that, you know, you can't just write a law specifically targeting one industry like that. So, but that's kind of what they were doing. They're trying to protect them. And a lot of industries actually got exemptions from this. Doctors, lawyers, accountants, hairdressers, manicurists, repo men. Like there were 35 industries that got written in, carved out of this law in the initial bill form when it was signed by the governor back in 2019. Now, the music industry didn't get an exemption from this in the initial bill form when the governor signed it. That's not because the music industry didn't try. The music industry tried to get an exemption. I wasn't a part of those negotiations. I honestly didn't know anything about this. The music industry tried to get an exemption back in 2019 before the governor signed it, when the bill was still being negotiated, and they couldn't. We're talking the biggest guns of the music industry. We're talking the RIAA, the organization that advocates for the major labels, A2IM, the organization that advocates for the independent labels, the Recording Academy, Irving Azoff and his new organization, Music Action Coalition, Red Light Management, Corin Capshaw is part of that. A lot of big guns tried to negotiate this thing and couldn't get it through. Why? Well, AB5 is very pro-union. Some have rumored and said that AB5 was virtually written by unions, by the AFL-CIO, National Union Organization. And this is very pro-union because you know, here's the thing. The only way to join a union is you have to be an employee. This is national labor law. So the only way that you can actually join the union is if you're an employee, a W-2 employee, then you can unionize. Independent contractors can't unionize. So unions love this. And the musicians union, believe it or not, there is a musicians union. I know you've never heard about this. I hadn't really either. I mean, I was like, oh yeah, there's a musicians union, I think. But no one's really in the musicians union. I mean, it's very, very small. Really, the musicians union, the AFM, American Federation of Musicians, the only people who are really in this are people who play on film scores, major label records, and in symphony orchestras and that kind of stuff, you know, the LA Phil or whatnot. So most people are not in the musicians union, and people who are in the union, I'm telling you, I've talked to a lot of union members, AFM members. They don't like the AFM. They don't like them. They do nothing for them. You pay your dues, and honestly, the AFM doesn't really do anything for them. It's not like SAG-AFTRA for actors, which is beloved by actors. I mean, shit, I'm in SAG-AFTRA. I love them. They send me checks all the time. AFM is not like that. The AFM was fighting for AB5, did not want a music industry exemption. Because why? They want to get more members. They wanted to get more members as part of the AFM. Membership is dwindling. No one's in the union. Like, why do you need to be in the union? I don't need to be in the union. No one, you can't, like, here's the thing is, who are you going to fight against? You know, unions are meant to protect the little guys and help workers fight the big bad corporations and increase, you know, your pay, working conditions. So unions can do a lot of good for workers. I'm not disputing that. I have nothing against unions. For most industries, unions can be excellent, can be wonderful. But they're not necessary for the music industry when I am contracting my friends to play shows with me. What are they going to unionize against me? But then I'm also in the union because I'm a musician who gets contracted by other people. And because that's the thing. That's the thing about this is that, you know, in most instances, like when I play a gig, let's say at the Hotel Cafe in LA, I am both the employee and the employer in that situation if we were following the AB5 rules, meaning under AB5, I would be considered an employee of the Hotel Cafe, this music venue, because technically they would have to put me on payroll and I'd be an employee for that one gig. And I would be an employer of my backup band, of my drummer and the bassist and the guitarist and the keyboard player that I hired. They're my employees for the one gig, and I'd have to put all of them on payroll and W-2 them for one gig, even if I'm just paying them a couple hundred bucks each. They're all my employees for the one gig, and that's what AB5 said. So obviously, it's completely unrealistic. But like I said before, when the law went into effect January 1st, things started to crumble. Now, obviously, you know, most people don't follow this stuff very closely and didn't really understand what was happening. And so people were still literally breaking the law every single day because they didn't know. Why would you know? Like, people were still playing gigs up until, obviously, all live music shut down. People were still playing gigs and hiring their friends to back them up and whatever. And music venues were still hiring singer-songwriters, individuals. But people who did understand the law and were following this and had lawyers working with them, they stopped hiring musicians. We saw places stop having live music. We saw like wine bars stopped having singer-songwriters and live music, and we saw like I said before, sessions stopped happening because they couldn't afford to put all these musicians on payroll. You know, so we are the unintended consequences is what you're looking at. So I learned about this about a month or two, maybe 2 months before the law went into effect. So I learned about this like November 2019 by some musician friends of mine learned about it. They had me over to their place with a bunch of other musicians, and their attorney, Ned Minoyo, he gave a presentation basically teaching all of us about AB5. And none of us knew about it. And by the end of it, we were all freaking the fuck out. We're like, wait a minute. Like, this doesn't work for us. Like, how could this possibly happen? This doesn't make any sense. This is unrealistic completely. And we're like, well, shit, we got to do something about this. So I wrote about it on Ari's Take. That article went crazy viral. It got like 500,000 views in a couple days or something like that. It was called "The California Music Economy is About to Crash." And then that blog article got me a meeting with the assembly member who wrote the bill, who wrote AB5, assembly member Gonzalez, Lorena Gonzalez. Simultaneously, a couple other people from that meeting and part of this new Facebook group, Independent Music Professionals United, started a petition that was started by Adrian Duncan and Alicia Spilius. That petition got started to gain traction and momentum. So we all met with Lorena Gonzalez, Assemblymember Gonzalez, pled our case, and she was like, you know, I feel you. I get it. Okay. You know, like we realize we're going to have to figure out the music industry thing a little bit later. And mind you, this meeting was in December and we're like, well, when's later? Because this law is going to affect in weeks. And she's like, well, you know, we knew we have to figure this out. We're like, but you don't understand. Like we're going to lose work in a few weeks or we're going to be breaking the law and this is going to be really bad. She's like, all right, well, put some language together, send it to me. And I will, you know, put it into a cleanup bill, which I'm going to be introducing. We're like, okay, cool. So we started to get to work. We started to think about language and we sent her some language. And she's like, no, you don't understand. You need sign off from the unions. You need sign off from everyone in the music industry. We're like, wait, what? You just told us to send you language. We didn't know how politics really worked. Now, I know you're thinking, you're listening to this, like, wait a minute. Why again? This clearly doesn't make any sense. Like, why should somebody who's paying a drummer $100 to play a half-hour gig on a Tuesday night at 11 p.m. need to put that drummer on payroll and spend thousands of dollars to incorporate, get a payroll company, and on and on and on? That doesn't make any sense. It's like, yeah, but who we then had to fight with was the union, the AFM, the American Federation of Musicians. Again, remember them from just a couple minutes ago? They don't do shit, except they fought us tooth and nail. So we linked up with the big guns of the music industry, the RIAA, all that, the whole coalition that lost the fight initially to the AFM. They actually got in touch with me. They're like, hey, saw your article, way to go. The AFM is coming back to the table. They're freaking out. The AFM, the president of the AFM, John Acosta, got in touch with me. And he's like, hey, you know, we're not the bad guys. Like, I think we can, you know, we can align on this a little bit. And I'm like, okay. So we met, we talked, and but it was very clear that they wanted AB5 because their membership is way down. They thought that if every musician had to be W-2'd, then everyone would join the union, even though it doesn't make any sense to join a musicians union. Who are you fighting against? Who are you fighting for? Who you're fighting? It's just like, that doesn't make any sense. It's like, yes, it makes sense if you're like, you know, in the LA Phil and you need to negotiate with corporate LA Phil for, you know, higher pay and more vacation hours and health insurance benefits and that kind of stuff. And it's like this big organization. It's like, okay, you have one employer. Fine. That makes sense. But most musicians don't have one employer. Most musicians have 50 employers a year. You know, you're doing all these gigs. You know, we're gig workers. We're literally, gig comes from musicians. So, real quick, I want to let you know about DistroKid. Well, I'm sure you already know about DistroKid, but they are partners with Ari's Take, and they are a great company that can help get your music distributed to Spotify, Apple Music, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram, all of that. Over 1 million artists use DistroKid. I'm one of those artists. I've distributed some of my music in the past. And something I appreciate about DistroKid, as not just an artist, but someone who studies this space, is they have been one of the most innovative companies over the last 10 years. They came in and completely changed the game. One of the first companies offering unlimited uploads, and now most of the other distributors have had to change their policies to kind of copy and follow suit what DistroKid was doing, and the industry had changed, of course. DistroKid doesn't keep a commission. That means you keep 100% of your royalties and earnings from the DSPs. They also offer payment splitting. They call it splits, something that for me at this point is a deal breaker. I don't want to have to cut checks to all my collaborators and the producers and everybody else that is owed royalties and owed splits from my earnings. DistroKid will cut those checks directly. You can get them to your collaborators to sign up, and then DistroKid will cut all the checks to all your collaborators. And they were one of the first to offer that of the DIY self-service distributors. DistroKid continues to innovate. Check them out. If you need to get your music out there, DistroKid.com. You know, we were meeting with the AFM and they were fighting us every step of the way, and it was coming down to the deadline. Now simultaneously, man, I was going on news programs. I went down to San Diego and I went on Lorena Gonzalez's local news program. And I had twice, actually. I went with Adrian Duncan, another member of Independent Music Professionals United, our new organization that we then formed, IMPU, I-M-P-U. And we talked about how this 85 doesn't work for musicians. And Lorena saw it. And she's like, hey, you're misrepresenting this, blah, 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 blah. But by putting public pressure on her, she put public pressure on the unions, on the AFM. They're like, yo, get this done. Get this done. And then we were more public and louder. And I went on other news programs, both in San Diego, in LA. And then I got flown out to New York by John Stossel. And I went on his program and talked about it. And then I went on a few other news programs. And then we got written up in the SF Chronicle, in the LA Times. And the more public pressure that we put on Gonzalez and the governor and the AFM, the more willing they were to negotiate with us. And I'm like learning politics as I go. Don't know anything about this, and I'm just learning as I go. I'm not a politician. I don't care to be a politician. I don't want to be in politics, but I'm like learning how this goes. Twitter, also I learned, is very effective. You know, that's how politicians communicate. And I lost track of how many Twitter battles I got into with Assemblywoman Lorena Gonzalez. It got to a point where in the thick of the negotiations, we're like down to the wire because there are deadlines for this stuff. And we're down to the wire where they're going to need to submit language. When our organization, IMPU, we are in the AFM's office and we are in the union's office negotiating, hashing this out, saying, hey, well, this doesn't work. This doesn't. They sent us language and then we had to come back and we had a couple meetings there. And, you know, we're in their office. They had all the AFM leaders from around the state on the phone. We had our members in there. And now, mind you, the AFM, they like refused to meet with some of our members. Get this. They refused to meet with some of our members of Independent Music Professionals United, IMPU, because they're like, well, we see that one of them, this violinist, she's part of this contracting company that we have on the do not hire list because they have unfair workplace policies, blah, 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 blah. It's such bullshit. I'm telling you, like, I asked them about this. They're like, oh, it's because this organization is in direct competition with the AFM, and so they just like put them on these do not work with lists and then contact the employment department, and the EDD and of California, and try to like file complaints against them, and they lose the complaints every time, but then they can put, it's like all this weird game, it's these games. And so the AFM was like, no, we can't, this union policy, we cannot meet with these people, your violinist, who I'm like, what are you kidding me? Because she plays a couple gigs as part of this, because like somebody hired her for a gig, and like because that company you don't like because they're incompetent, like you won't meet with, it was fucked up. Like they're literally elbowing out a few of the members who were part of us that were just independent musicians that were just, you know, take gigs. And it was absurd. The AFM, they were playing dirty, literally, like at every step, they tried to do whatever they possibly could. So at the end of this negotiation, this one day, we met for a couple hours in there, and it was like we had to submit language to the assemblywoman by 5 p.m. that day. And the AFM initially sent us this convoluted language that was completely unworkable, non-starter. It's not even worth getting into, but it was like it didn't make any sense. There was no basis in reality. We're like, this A, it doesn't make any sense. B, it's clear that you people who work at the AFM, John Acosta and everybody else, have no idea how the modern music industry works. When was the last time you were at a club or ever talked to a musician? Because you guys, ironically, are the AFM, the Musicians Union, and you don't know how musicians work. It was fucking crazy. So we literally, but we had an attorney, we had a couple attorneys on our team who, you know, master negotiators, and like, listen, this is the game, this is how it works. You have to just, you know, the assemblywoman will not sign off on anything until they get sign off from the AFM. So we have to play their stupid game. And we're like, all right. We literally had to go line by line, and every line we crossed out and rewrote. It was absurd. And in the end, we finally kind of came to something that was not great, but it was like, you know, somewhat workable for the deadline. That, and we still, they submitted it, and then we'd have another couple weeks to kind of edit it and whatnot. So all this political stuff. So we're like, all right, fine. Then I get a call from the attorney who's talking with the assemblywoman's office, and he's like, sorry, don't freak out. But they submitted the old language that the AFM initially wrote, that language that I just said was completely not based in reality, had nothing, like, just didn't make any sense, totally unworkable. And they submitted it to the assemblywoman, and the assemblywoman sent it to the legislative council some office so they could, like, you know, get it in writing and whatnot and edit it. And I'm like, wait a minute, but why do we just spend the entire day killing ourselves to try to come up with language that we could all agree on when they just send language that we didn't agree to? He's just like, don't worry, this isn't going to be public. We have 2 weeks to edit it. We're going to edit it. It's not going to be public. That's just what they just needed to get something in. I'm like, all right, I don't really understand, but fine. Then that night, I'm going out to a concert. I'm at the Fonda. I'm seeing Jamestown Revival, good friends, great band. And shout out to Nick Bearden, who is a guest on the show. Go listen to his episode. Anyway, I'm at their concert, and right before the show starts, I get frantic texts from members of Impu saying that Lorena Gonzalez is currently tweeting the language that the AFM sent to her that we did not agree to. She's tweeting the language and saying, hey, we came to an agreement with the music industry. Here's what it says. And I'm like, oh, hell no. So I had to dip out. I went into the that courtyard at the Fonda, and I call the attorney that we're working with, Jordan Bromley. Shout out to Jordan, who kicked ass during this process and really helped with everything. I'm like, Jordan, dude, you said that it wasn't going to be public. He's like, I don't know, man. I don't know why she's tweeting this. This is not, she should not be doing that. I'm like, okay, well, she is. It's public. And not only, and mind you, people are watching Lorena's Twitter profile with a magnifying glass. Like, there's an entire Freelancers Against AB5 Facebook group with 20,000 members, not to mention our Impu Facebook group with 3,000 members. And whenever she tweets, it becomes news in our groups. And news, just general news. People or journalists are following that shit. So I go batshit. I'm telling you, I got on the phone with John Acosta, president of the AFM, Local 47 here in California, in LA. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? He's like, I'm sorry, dude. I don't know why she's tweeting. I don't know what she's doing. You know, he's like, she's the Democratic Donald Trump. I don't know what she's doing. She don't listen. This is not what we, because the thing is that I backed him and the AFM into a corner, because I kept blasting them on Ari's take and on the news programs and everywhere, and they were losing membership daily. People were dropping their AFM membership because they're like, you're not standing up for us. Like, we are working musicians and this is hurting us. You think it's going to get you more members? Well, I'm leaving. And that was happening every day. Members were leaving the AFM. And so he's now getting real scared and defensive that I'm going to blast them more, which I was going to. And I'm like, dude, you have to tell her to stop tweeting this. So she's tweeting, we're freaking out, we're emailing, and I'm tweeting, and I'm like, the fuck? So whatever, I go back into the concert, and then I come back out, I go home, and I go for burgers with Nick and my buddy Jesse. We go to Stout Burger, and then I get home at like 1:30, 2 in the morning. And I just happen to glance at Twitter. I'm getting ready for bed. And it's 2:30. And now Lorena Gonzalez is tweeting at me. She's responding to my tweet at 2:30 in the morning. And I'm like, oh, we're doing this? We're doing this right now? Okay, fine. So now we're in a Twitter battle at 2:30 in the morning. Me and Lorena Gonzalez back and forth. And I'm basically saying, we didn't agree to this. You need to delete your tweets. And now, mind you, she's one of the most powerful politicians in the state of California. But I'm batshit. I don't give a fuck. You fuck with musicians, you fuck with the wrong group. So I don't give a fuck. I'm just like, you need to delete your tweets. You need to amend this. You need to edit it and say that you are wrong. And this is not what we agreed to. We were assured that you weren't going to go public with this for 2 weeks. That's the only reason we let this language fly. Blah, 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 blah. In the end, we got a little victory. And we got her to delete her tweets, and we eventually wrote language that was somewhat workable. Now, mind you, we didn't get everything we wanted. It was a negotiation, but from where the AFM was, where they didn't want any exemption for the music industry whatsoever, they wanted AB5 as is, that's where they started. And we want full exemption for all music industry professionals. So we're starting on completely opposite ends of the spectrum here. And that's when negotiations started. So, the AFM is like, all right, well, what about, can we cap the venue at 250 attendees? Meaning if you play a venue that has more than 250 attendees, then you have to follow AB5. We're like, are you kidding me? So we're going to, like, local bands are going to have to play any venue, play the Satellite, rest in peace, play the Echo or whatever. And that doesn't work. And we're like, all right, well, what's a good number? We're like, well, I don't know, 5,000. And like, no, we need the theaters in there. We're like, all right, we settled on 1,500. So, and only for headliners. So they got their little win that if you are a headliner of a venue that has over 1,500 people in attendance, not capacity, in attendance, then you have to double you to any contractors that you have or any musicians that you might have. And so this is a compromise. Now, we wanted all musicians and music industry professionals exempted. We did get that for recording. So anybody who works who records music, any session musician, any producer, any mixing engineer, any artist manager, any publicist, anyone who works on marketing, records, or even working on any of that, everyone in the recording sphere is exempt. But in the live space, that's where AFM, really cared and really pushed for that 1,500 cap. And then they also, now it's not for the openers at 1,500. So if you open a big show at a 1,500 cap venue, you're fine. It's only for the headliners. Now, like the Wiltern in LA, and not the Fonda. Yeah, I specifically used the Fonda as an example. It's like, because initially they're like, all right, 250. I'm like, no, like, what about 1,000? I'm like, well, no, the Fonda is capacity 1,250 or 1,250. And the Fillmore is capacity 1,350. I literally went on the websites of the Fonda and the Fillmore, and I pointed out local bands. I'm like, look at Azamatli is playing the Fillmore 1,350. Like, they're a smaller band. yeah, they do well, but like they're not rolling in it. They're not doing massive tours playing theaters. They just have like a really good draw locally. And I'm like, you know, look at who's playing the Fonda here. And so that's why we got her like, all right, we won't include the Fonda. We won't include the Fillmore. But the Wiltern, they're like, we need the Wiltern. That has a capacity of 1850. And we're like, all right, fine. And then they're also, they wanted all orchestras. I'm like, can we just limit this to symphony orchestras, not chamber, you know, not Manchester Orchestra, not jazz orchestras. They're like, all right, fine. We can call it symphony orchestra. And it's just symphony orchestras because like we need the LA Phil. I'm like, all right, fine. And then they really pushed hard. We have a lot of musicians. We had string players in our organization who are part of playing pit orchestras for musicals. They're like, this is equity. This is, you know, theater. We will not budge on theater. They were literally willing to blow up the entire negotiations if we didn't give them theater and orchestras and theme park musicians. But, you know, Disney can afford this. It's fine. But it was like symphony orchestras and musical theaters. And we're like, you know, we can't fight the theater battle. We'd love to. And yes, we really wanted just a complete full repeal of AB5. We thought it was such a horrible law. But like we had to stop the bleeding for the music industry. We had to fight our battle, this battle. So this was a negotiation. And I've gotten a lot of flack from people and in the Facebook groups, on Twitter, everywhere saying like, well, you should have gotten more, blah, blah. I'm like, you weren't there, okay? Where were you? Like I spent 9 months with my organization working on this shit, sleepless nights, Twitter battles, flying all over the country working on this shit. Where were you? Where were you? Okay. So I get it. Like, you know, there shouldn't be carve outs for industries who work on this. And now why are these, freelancers penalized? But not you know what? You got to fight for your industry. And I fought for the music industry. And that's what we did here. So, it was the governor signed this into law. It passed the assembly. Our amendment, this amendment, this cleanup bill passed the assembly unanimously, passed the Senate unanimously. Republicans and Democrats all voted for this. Our language that we helped write, literally. And the governor signed it. The governor signed it on September 4th, 2020. It was crazy. It was cool. I was watching the vote on the Senate floor as everybody was discussing it and you know why they were voting for it, which everyone did vote for it. So it was quite a year. It was a little victory that we have during this crazy COVID time where the whole live music industry pretty much is shut down. This was a little beacon. If you want to learn more about it, you want the text, visit ariestake.com. And you can just search on Ari's Take. If you just search AB5, the article is called Finally the California Music Industry Gets Relief Under AB5. And I spell out exactly what it is, this process, and who gets exemptions specifically. So if you want to know more about that, you can visit ariestake.com and learn about it. Hope you enjoyed my little tirade and explanation of how it went down, but that's how it happened. Have a great rest of your day, night, week, year, all that stuff. All right, peace. This episode is brought to you by DistroKid. DistroKid is a distribution service that can get your music into all the DSPs like Spotify, Apple Music, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram. Over a million artists have used DistroKid. I'm one of those artists. I've used DistroKid to get my music out, distribute some of my songs. As you know, as I look into all of these distribution services, I test them out. And DistroKid is great. They offer a ton of features, annual fee, unlimited uploads, and you keep 100% of your royalties. Check out distrokid.com.